This is the Liberty Weekly Review, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, with your window on the world of local, state, and national issues. Host John DePrisco and the panel taking your calls at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. To find out more about the Libertarian Party of Collier County, go to collierlp.com or look them up on Facebook. And now, the Liberty Weekly Review.
And welcome to the Liberty Weekly Review. This is Episode 6, In Memoriam. Episode 6, it is Memorial Day weekend. I'm John DePrisco. The show is produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We're going to be having the show in two parts, one guest for each part, and I'll introduce them in a minute. We do accept call-ins, and we welcome them. Please give us a call at 430-CHAT. That's 430-2428, and you'll be live with us on the air. And I get to introduce the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Collier County, Rob Tulp.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. Thanks, John.
And we are doing a fundraiser for the show. If you want to contribute and you think we're doing an okay job, come see us at collierlp.com, and you can click on the donate button there. First off, we'd like to get to the week in review, and with us is Joe Doyle.
Good afternoon, John. On Tuesday, the Collier Board of County Commissioners had a couple of controversial items. The first is the Seagate parking garage. As you know, beach access is a hot topic in Collier County with all the growth. There's several groups against the parking garage, but the commissioners voted to go ahead with a $200,000 study of the issue. And in the evening, they had a discussion on the marijuana dispensaries and once again punted on the issue. On Wednesday, they had the school board candidate forum. It's the third one put on by another group, C4PQE. And the candidates themselves did a good job, but there was controversy from the way the forum organizers ran the meeting, and I believe that'll be the topic of the second half of your show.
Sure is. All right. Well, we appreciate that. And, you know, today is Memorial Day, and we say a blessed Memorial Day or an honorable Memorial Day. We don't say happy Memorial Day, but it is a celebration and a way of remembering those who gave all for our freedom and for our ability to speak today. With us in the studio is our guest, Senior Airman Sarah Blanchett, U.S. Air Force veteran, and she's currently the Public Relations Officer for the Collier County Veterans Council. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And so let's just start with, you know, the concept of Memorial Day, the background behind it, and anything you want to touch on.
Okay. Memorial Day is just that. It's a time to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Not to be confused with Veterans Day, which is when we thank all veterans, past, present, future, anyone who has served. And we also have another day that people, I think, get a little confused with, and that's Armed Forces Day. And that's a day that we honor those who are currently serving right now that are active in the military. And I think that it's important to understand the difference between the three, and reserve Memorial Day specifically for those who have given that ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Memorial Day kind of started even as far back as the Civil War, but it did become a little more formal in World War One, and there was some efforts to, you know, make it standard throughout the country.
Yes, other countries do celebrate a type of Memorial Day as well. It goes back, like you said. I mean, even Civil War times, there's people that have talked about having Remembrance Days, and that's how the poppy came to be. Some people want to say it was Civil War. Some say World War One. There's kind of a toss up between that, but I know everyone has seen the poppies that are passed out at the VFW, American Legion. And that has a very significant purpose with Memorial Day, especially, and that, you know, is the only flower that grew in these battlefields, alongside, you know, in the turmoil of this. And people think that the poppy seed or the poppy flower, because it's red, represents blood and the turmoil that occurred. And it's not. It's just it was a red poppy that grew. And the poem, it's very famous, Flanders Field, is how it was described. If you read the poem, it's all in there about, you know, how beautiful these flowers were among the just devastation of these battlefields. And that's why they passed these out as a remembrance to those who have fallen.
Mm-hmm. And as part of the Collier County Veterans Council, you guys will be doing something memorial on Monday.
Yes, we have a very amazing ceremony planned, and we are just keeping our fingers crossed that the weather holds out. At least give us the couple hours we need. This ceremony, if you haven't been out to one before, please come. A lot of work goes in to making sure that each part of this ceremony is pure and just captures what we're, you know, what we're trying to do for the people who have given their lives. And we have a lot of little ceremonies within the ceremony, such as the explanation of the missing man in POW table, which is big for Memorial Day. Usually you'll see this table set up at most veteran events or, you know, your Veterans Day, Armed Forces Day, any type of these events, you'll see the missing man table and the POW table. But Memorial Day is really when we focus on those that are still missing, and we hope to, you know, we want them all to come home eventually. You know, we that's the main focus there. But we do, you know, we show the folding of the flags and what the 13 folds of the flag means. I don't know if a lot of people have seen that. And what is said when that flag is handed to a family member, it's really special, and it's sacred, and it's something to see. And we have kids that are just these little patriots that come and they sing for us, and they read poems expressing their gratitude for military members. The reading of the fallen soldier, people have seen the boots and the rifle with the helmet. You know, all this stuff is explained, and people may see this if they watch any of the ceremonies that happen in Arlington or, you know, across the country on this day. But to be a part of it, and we try and showcase each ceremony so that it's educational and people can see it and appreciate it and understand, you know, what we're trying to portray as far as just remembering these people. That's what Memorial Day is. We need to remember them all.
Right. And you mentioned the 13 folds of the flag, but there are other things like the way the flag is raised, half mast, when it's brought down, taps, things like that. And you guys go through all of that.
We do. We have the flag is brought out ceremoniously and put up, and then again brought down. And we do have taps. Last year we had, I want to say he's 83 years old, World War II veteran out there with his bugle. And it is just something to see. And it's beautiful. I believe it's being sung this year by another Collier County Veterans Council. And I don't know if people know the words to taps, but the words are
Day is
powerful.
Done, gone the sun. Yeah.
It's powerful. And taps, you know, it started out as just turn the lights off, basically. I mean, they still hear taps played, you know, for normal turn the lights off. But if you listen to the words and how it became part of every military funeral now, it's perfect and it's touching. And I think everyone gets a little misty eyed when taps is played.
Yeah. I've heard it played many times in what's called an echo format, where the principal bugler is doing it, and then they hide another bugle or trumpet maybe in the woods or around the building, and he echoes the sound, and it's just, it brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah, it's special. It is special.
And so you have the Veterans Council is obviously all branches.
Yes, we do have all branches now, which is exciting.
And I raise that because I'm surrounded by two Air Force veterans, so that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, we have quite a representation. Really, what we try and do is act as a communication hub for other veterans and to pass out information and to hold events like this. Memorial Day is probably our biggest, but not our only. We have a big Veterans Day celebration that we do at Cambria Park, and hundreds of people, I mean, it's packed, and it's great. The people that come, it's really fun. And then we have Flag Day coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're actually doing it on a Saturday, June 16th, at 5 p.m. at Freedom Memorial, right in Naples, off Goodlett. And the reason we're doing it this way is we want to bring the community out and understand, why do we burn flags?
Yes.
That was a huge thing last year.
Yeah.
And we had the kids out, and we had the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, young Marines. We had other veterans come out. We had the fire departments, everyone, police, sheriff. And we explained to these kids why what they're seeing on the news is not okay,
right?
But why it's okay what we're doing.
Right.
And we explained the tradition of retiring a flag respectfully. And they loved it. They loved it. So this year, we're going to try and get more people to come out and watch this, and we're going to make it even bigger and just basically educate the community and where they can retire flags, where they can bring flags that are too worn, and people can come and give us names and we can retire flags in their names as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a great event.
Awesome. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be with Senior Airman Sarah Blanchett.
Connor,
mm-hmm.
What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da!
To...
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep children 3 feet away from anything that gets hot. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
And now, back to the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back with Senior Airman Sarah Blanchett, U.S. Air Force veteran, and currently the Public Relations Officer of the Collier County Veterans Council. We're talking a little bit about Memorial Day, some of the solemn ceremonies, and some about how to properly retire a flag, which is through burning.
This is something that a lot of the public really is not aware of. It's not the same thing that you see as someone would do in a protest, civil disobedience or something like that. This is the honorable way in order to properly retire a flag and give it its due honor and respect. And by doing so, I saw this last year, the American Legion Post 303 right here in Bonita Springs, same locale as this studio where we're broadcasting from. They put to rest well over retired 20-something odd, I'm just going from memory, 20-something odd flags last year.
And Sarah, you guys do it as well, and there's a big event recently, and
yes,
you had quite a few flags brought to you.
We had well over 500 flags. Trash bags full, boxes, bins, people carrying armfuls, collecting from all over the place.
Right, but they want to do the right thing. They want to retire
officially. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's hard to see the flag being disrespected when you know, especially personally, what was given up for that flag.
Sure.
And it's really upsetting. But to be able to explain to the young people who are seeing this and maybe don't quite understand what's going on, but to sit down and face-to-face with them and show them and talk to them and explain why the flag is burned in this manner, it's, you see it, they're getting it, and hopefully it sticks.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, and let's get back to Memorial Day and what the CZVC is doing this Monday, where and when.
All right, so Monday, May 28th, Memorial Day is always the last Monday of May. Veterans Day is the 11th.
Right.
Of
and
the
then
11th
we had
month.
Armed Forces Day last week.
Yes. So Monday, ceremony kicks off 9:45. we suggest, where, like I said, weather's going to be a huge issue, but suggest getting there early. There's a few tents set up with shelter, but it was really hot last year. Hopefully this year it's just overcast and that's it. you're invited to bring your own chairs. And we just set up in front of this beautiful background. So we want people to get there a little early if they want, you know, a good seat. But there's really not a bad seat because right in the middle where the flag, there's a flagpole and there'll be stuff going on around the flagpole as well. And this is going to be at Hodges Funeral Home off of 111th, right in Naples. And you can visit our website as well, callyourvets.org, to get more information and see the flyer. And we're also on social media on Facebook at Call Your Vets.
Okay. And if you could just give us a little brief background on the CCVC, you know, feel free to talk about not just Memorial Day, but, you know, what else you do and what you do for vets.
We help. We just want to help in any way we can. If we don't know the answer, we will find it. As we're getting more involved with the community, we've got some really great contacts between Veterans Court that they have. That is a great program. Mentors, PTSD programs. There's a lot of information out there. We work so close with the Veterans Service Office, the Vet Center, the local VAs. We really have a lot of contacts, and we're willing to share with whoever needs help. You just have to come see us. But we do hold monthly meetings. They're on the third Wednesday of every month at City Hall, 7 p.m., okay. Open to the public. Anyone can come and hear what's going on. We try and have some interesting guest speakers come based on issues that are going around currently in our community. And we just try to spread as much as we can. And we just became a nonprofit, which is super exciting. long process, but we've got it. And we just, you know, we rely on donations to keep these events going and keep them free. And besides throwing events, you know, we help with, especially after Irma, I mean, we really got out there and tried to help not just the veteran community, just, you know, our community in general. Everyone needed a little help after that. Mm-hmm. And we want to help more people. We just, you know, our funds are limited to keep these events going. And we feel that that's really our most important job right now, is to just keep doing these ceremonies and you know, be with the community. But we want to help more. We try and help homeless veterans get into temporary housing if possible. If someone calls and says, you know, I'm at the hospital, I can't mow my lawn, we mention it, and three veterans will show up within an hour to mow the lawn. We really try and just be out there. So okay. It's important for... If you've known us and you've come to a meeting, spread the word, you know, come see us, let us know how we can help.
Okay. And if someone did want to donate, is that available on your website?
Yes. On the website, we do have a PayPal set up.
Okay.
And our EIN is on there for nonprofit status. So please, please, please.
And that website again is?
callyourvets.org.
Okay. Vets with a S.
V-E-T-S.
callyourvets.org. Okay. And Rob, also a veteran. I know there's a bunch of groups that are out there, like American Legion, VFW, but the CCVC, you know, works with all of them.
Indeed. Do you guys, Sarah, do you guys have regular scheduled monthly meetings?
Third Wednesday of every month, 7 p.m. City Hall. And we have representatives from VFW, American Legion, the Military Officers Association. We kind of have Jewish war vets. I mean, you name it. We've kind of got at least one that comes and represents their organization, different posts.
So if you're out there and you're looking to volunteer and help out in any way, if you're a veteran or if you're not a veteran, you want to help out in some way, get in contact.
Yes. And we are always looking for new members. We have anyone who's considered a member is an organization that deals with exclusively veteran issues. And we keep it that way for a reason. And we just, you know, we want to keep everyone tight knit and on the same page. And we just, you know, we put that out there, but we do accept members whenever. If you have a veteran organization and you want to join us, please come to a meeting.
And so we are talking about Memorial Day, which is this Monday, and the Collier County Veterans Council will be out there with a special ceremony at Hodges. Get there early, but it starts at 9:45 on Monday morning, and they're off 111th in North Naples. I want to get back to the history of Memorial Day, and we have some notes here, so I wanted to just grab them for you. And, you know, there was... you know, the idea of, you know, honoring people who have fallen by regularly going to their cemetery and cleaning it and, you know, maintaining the stone and the grave, you know, is a worldwide tradition that's been going on for centuries. So the specific idea of Memorial Day or Decoration Day, as it was first known, you know, has come from different areas. You know, we're not completely clear as to how it started to come together. But especially in rural America, it was usually performed in late summer, and it was an occasion for family reunions and even, you know, picnics and all, even though it is a solemn occasion. Obviously, after the Civil War, where there was a large number of dead, it became obvious that there was a need for a more formal understanding, you know, nationwide, how to honor our fallen dead and how to decorate their graves and so forth. After World War I, of course, it became even more expanded because of the number of dead. And so eventually, even though different states had different dates and they honored it in different ways, in 1971, Memorial Day did become a national holiday by an act of Congress. And so it is now, as you said, celebrated on the last Monday in May. You know, I would recommend to anyone, especially if you have young kids, look up the red poppy, the concept of the red poppy. Look up the poem In Flanders Fields, which was written by a Canadian veteran in World War I. And, you know, educate your kids and get them to understand why it's such a solemn occasion, why we should celebrate it, and why we should keep it in the forefront.
Yeah, it's important to spread it to the kids. My daughter at school yesterday brought in a poppy. Aww. And explained how it came about. And, you know, the kids were super into it and asking questions. And she's raised, you know, obviously in a very patriotic family. So I hope to keep that going because, you know, I think our kids need to know the real history. I think that's important, the real history.
Indeed. And if you're out there and you're listening to us on this broadcast today, you know, we would also remind you, too, that this is a holiday that I know that, as all other holidays throughout the year, after you've celebrated them a number of times, they become just rote and can take on less meaning than what they should. But this is one of those holidays where it is a somber holiday, and it should cause us to
reflect. Yep, I know. It's emotional, and it hits us pretty hard. You know, a lot of us have family members that we've lost as a result of their service, and you know, we appreciate it and
reflect on the seriousness of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wear a bracelet every day. I never take it off.
Awesome.
Friend I went to high school with.
Okay.
That was killed.
Wow. And it's always then therefore in the forefront of your mind. So yeah, we ask everyone to please, you know, think about the solemnity of the day, the sacredness of it. go out and see the CCVC and their event Monday. And so we're going to end this segment. And Senior Airman Sarah Blanchett, U.S. Air Force veteran and Collier County Veteran Council Public Relations Officer, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mike McDonald with the McDonald Insurance Agency in Naples, Florida. I'm here with my son, Connor. Hey, Connor, do you play football?
Yes, Daddy, I do.
I used to play football, too, but now I try to protect people from the unexpected. I give them the very best insurance at the very best rate. I give them choices because I'm an independent insurance agent, unlike people who only have one choice. Connor, we work very hard to protect our clients. What's the hardest thing you do in football?
Learning how to block on the offensive line.
You know, Connor, practice does make perfect, and here at the McDonald Insurance Agency, we pride ourselves in always practicing good business principles, the golden rule, so our clients always have a great experience. If you want to find us, look us up online at insurancemcdonald.com. That's insurancemcdonald.com. Telephone number 239-596-0000. That's 239-596-0000.
Go McDonald's!
There's a threat targeting America. One that's growing fast, but may still be hard to see. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, often smaller than the head of a pin, this dangerous disease is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. And if left untreated, it can lead to arthritis, facial paralysis, and even memory and concentration problems, often called brain fog. As the threat of Lyme disease grows to more than 300,000 projected cases each year, it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside, even in your own backyard. It means seeing a doctor if you experience the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can include joint pain, flu-like symptoms, fever, fatigue, or sometimes a bullseye-shaped rash. Set your sights on stopping Lyme. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org. Brought to you by the Stephen and Alexandra Cohen Foundation and this station.
This is the Liberty Weekly Review on 98.9 WGUF.
And we are back. And again, I want to thank Sarah for the first half of our show. Second half now, we're going to move on to another topic. The county commissioner's dispensary ban. And this is a veteran's view. And Rob, go for it.
Well, folks, if you've been paying any attention to the local news, you have seen where the Collier County Commission ruled 3-2 to continue the dispensary ban for medical marijuana for another 6 months. And as a veteran who have friends who are veterans, who has a son-in-law who did 512 combat missions in Iraq and Afghanistan, I am absolutely livid that these commissioners are treating us the way that they are treating us. As a veteran, this is a serious affront to all of us because we all know someone who has PTSD, someone who suffered severe injury and PTSD through the conflict that we've had for the last 15 and 20 years. And these commissioners don't seem to get it that 71% of the population, or 61 or 62.3-something percent in Collier County alone, voted in favor for Amendment 2 to legalize medical marijuana. So in essence, they are defying the state constitution as it has been voted on and legally ratified. And they are also taking on an elitist attitude that somehow that they are basically our overlords and know better than we do. Now, I'm going to call all of you county commissioners to the carpet right now. I'm willing to give you an opportunity to call into this show right now and give an account as to the reasons why that you are not willing to support the troops by allowing them to have a dispensary and not have to drive 15, 20, 30 miles to go get their medication. And that's what it is. It's medication, no matter. We've already put all of those weed mania and madness arguments to rest scientifically for a long time now. So this point, so it's moot, and your arguments are moot, and they're ridiculous to continue to use stuff that's already been scientifically disproven and is an affront both to individual liberty, which is what our country was founded and based upon, and it is even more of an affront, especially on Memorial Day, for you to do this to the very men and women who have placed their lives on the line to secure this freedom to us and then to treat them this way. All of our county commissions are supposedly Republicans, which are known as conservatives. Well, in my lifetime of 48 years, I've always known conservatives to be pro-military and in favor of the troops. Well, this bunch that we have, with the exception of Commissioner McDaniels, we have an entire group that are waffling and are anti-troops. That's the way I feel about this. Call in now if you want to give us an account as to the reason why. But we'll tell you right now, I'm organizing with a bunch of other individuals, and it's going to be relentless from this day forward. We are going to go after each one of these commissioners and see to it that not a single one of them retains their seat and not a single one of them ever holds another political office in this state or in this county again.
All right. And Rob, even though, you know, we're produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County, this is not partisan. This crosses all lines. And, you know, you've got broad popular support on this, regardless of political affiliation.
Indeed, I do. Yeah. All of the members who are a part of this organization, that we're coalition that me and Paul Harper and some others are putting together, there are independents. There are people who are registered NPA of no party affiliation at all. There are libertarians. There are Democrats. There are Republicans. This is the one issue that has united everyone in this state. That's the reason why that Amendment 2 passed back when it did. Because this breaks the barriers to where we put aside our little minor differences that we have with each other politically, because this issue is an important issue.
Absolutely. And Rob, thank you for that. I'm going to move into topic 2B. I call it Pavlov's Dogs, the C4 QPE. A little event happened on Wednesday that personally happened to me. But I got in studio. My guest is Diane Van Paris. She's the president of the Republican Women of Southwest Florida Federated, and I just met her a few nights ago. And Diane, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you very much. Really enjoy being here.
Well, we apparently had an event happen to both of us on Wednesday night, and I didn't realize this until we met. There was a Collier County School Board open forum that was put on by this C4QPE, which is the Coalition for Quality Public Education. They held the open forum. There were seven candidates running for the various districts. It was hosted by Dave Elliott. And just to be on the positive side, I want to give both sides of this. I thought it was well run. I thought it was very well attended. I thought the candidates did very well. And I thought Dave Elliott did an excellent job. I mean, he kept us on time. And he made sure that, you know, all the candidates got equal time to talk. However, we had a little issue, and they were putting out 3x5 cards and asking the public to write questions. And they had pens if you needed them, and they were constantly saying, "If you have questions, write it down. Questions, write it down." And they were going up and down the aisles at the church where this was held. And they were collecting the cards, and so they had maybe, I don't know, 30 cards. Then I noticed a gentleman who was one of their volunteers in one of their shirts, sat down next to me across from the aisle, started reading the cards, picked about 5 to 7 of them out, put them in his back pocket, and then gave the remaining 20 or 30 to Dave Elliott. So I leaned over to him. And I tapped him, and of course, stuff was going on, so I was being very quiet. And I said, "Hey, why did you pull some of those out?" And he turned to me and said,
because I can. And I went, really? So after the event, I went up to... oh, and by the way, I noticed that one of the questions was mine. I could read it from across the aisle. So I was like, oh, no, this is not happening. So I went up to Dave Elliott, and I said, who's putting this on? Who's the leader? And he pointed to Beth Pavlov. So I went up to Beth, and I explained it to her what happened. And she said, oh, he said, you know, because I can, really? I'm like, yeah. She said, well, I'll look into it. So that evening, I started emailing her, and we went back and forth about three or four times. Each time, I asked her to please come on this show. She never answered. I said she could come in live. She could call in live. I hope she's listening now. Beth, if you're listening, please call in 430-2428. I doubt I will hear from her. Late last night, the individual, apparently she gave him my email address, Bill Corson, and he was the one. He did apologize. However, in his apology, he said he stands by his decision to pull some of these questions. So, Diane, my understanding is that you've had some experience with this before and that maybe one of your questions was pulled.
Yes. So I believe one of my questions was pulled because my question dealt with the fact that we are in Collier County, a number five in the state of Florida. And what has happened is U.S. World News reports came out a few weeks ago and all of our high schools dropped significantly. Mm-hmm. And we dropped from 17th in the state of Florida to 27th. And my question was, how can we be an A-rated district, number five in the state of Florida, when our high schools are significantly dropping?
Okay, so obviously those numbers are coming from different organizations. So they're cherry-picking their data, it sounds like.
Well, U.S. News World Report actually was highlighted in the Naples Daily News, and I give them credit for countering Greg Tocchetta's comments as to why we went down. His explanation was, well, they use IB scores and everything else, and we don't have IB, we have Cambridge. And so he negated that. However, the writer went back to U.S. News World Report, and they said, no, the reason that Collier County went down is that they are not producing college-ready students based on the AP exams.
Okay, and so AP were, you know, is nationwide.
Right.
Standards that we could easily understand, or ACTs or SATs.
Exactly.
So it's just, it depends on what you're using. So you could make the numbers look like you're going up, but in fact, we know that some of those numbers are going down.
Right. And they're going down in all areas, both ACT, SAT, and AP. And where we get a significant bump, and one of the criteria that they're using to rank us here in the state of Florida, is graduation rate.
Mm.
And one of the things that's changed, so we hear from our school board candidates consistently, oh, we're number five rated in the state of Florida. Camilla Patton, his superintendent, has done such a great job. What they don't say is that they have now added in certificate recipients as graduating, and Lorenzo Walker is the biggest issuer of certificates now.
Okay, so they just baked that number in, and suddenly when you go from the old number that didn't have them to the new number that does have them, it's a significant jump up.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you had, you know, factored that in before, you wouldn't have that big number.
Correct.
Yeah, or if you didn't continue to use those numbers. So my question, similar vein, I stated that given the budget is the equivalent of $22,000 per student, what will you do to lower that number? Well, that was a horrible question. I can't ask that, you know. Ms. Pavlov, you know, went back and forth with me and stated why some of the questions were rejected. And she mentioned that there were some guidelines. And some of those guidelines were that, you know, was the issue already raised and answered during the forum? Did it have inaccurate information as the basis for the question? Was it inappropriately conflating national politics with local school board elections? Or were they slinging partisan arrows that would be inappropriately interfering with the nonpartisan nature of the school board election? And I'm paraphrasing from her email. So I wrote back, well, you know, I would love to understand where you're rejecting my question, because she said she read these questions and felt that they were all correctly rejected. So I stated that my question met the guidelines. It was not raised during that forum. It did not have inaccurate information, and I quoted my source. The source is collierschools.com. On their website, they list what their budget is, and they list what their full-time equivalent student number is. It's easy to do the math. You divide one by the other, and you get $22,658.27, which I rounded down. I was being nice. And, I wasn't conflating national politics. I wasn't saying Trump said do this, you know. And I didn't sling any partisan arrows. I'm libertarian. We don't even have anybody running for any of the Collier School Board. And I'm trying to be nice. And I say, you know, none of this is hitting these things. So, you know, I wrote back to her. There's some serious questions about this. Is a public forum. This is supposed to be nonpartisan, as she says. So I said, your guidelines were not published. They weren't mentioned. There's no way to know that my question might be rejected. In fact, their volunteers were pushing for questions. They were constantly saying, you know, write questions right down, turn them in, send them down to the end of the aisle. I felt my questions met their guidelines, and I asked her why she, you know, I looked forward to hearing why she thought it might be rejected. And then finally, you know, she was not really talking about the because I can aspect of it, which we'll get to later. So at this point, I think we will take a quick break. And when we come back, I hope we have somebody on the line, but we'll get back into this afterwards.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Dad, if you're not going to listen to me, who will we listen to?
Can we just enjoy the drive?
Jeffrey.
Marcia Gay Harden, how did you get in here?
You're getting older.
Not that old.
Your brain's changing, but there are things you can do to make the most of it as you age.
Really?
So, you'll talk to her about this, but not me. Marcia Gay Harden? Where did she go?
Learn how to help reduce some risks to your brain at brainhealth.gov.
Are you a Catholic who is conservative or libertarian? Have you been hesitant to look too closely at Catholic social teaching? Well, I believe my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity, is just for you. My name is James DePrisco, and I wrote this book for Catholic libertarians. Did you know that Pope Leo XIII was accused of selling out to the capitalists after he wrote Rerum Novarum? It's all in my book, Economics of Catholic Subsidiarity. Pick up a copy from Amazon.
Connor, What's the name of your chicken?
Peggy.
And what do you think the most important part of taking care of Peggy is?
Giving her water, giving her food, letting her roam around and eat the greens a lot in her field.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. At McDonald Insurance, we love taking care of our customers as well, providing them value with integrity. At McDonald Insurance, we have 12 homeowners insurance companies and 8 auto insurance companies. You'll never have to worry about whether you got the best deal. You always will at McDonald. Call 239-596-0000. What's that number, Connor?
596-0000.
239-596-0000. Or online at www.insurancemcdonald.com. That's www.insurancemcdonald.com. Bye, Connor.
Want to talk to the panel? Call the Liberty Weekly Review at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT.
And we are back, and we do have a caller on the line. I'll get to her in just one second. I wanted to finish my thought was that, my question was that given that the budget is now close to $22,000 per student, what will you do to lower the number? Ms. Pavlov wrote back, per pupil expenditure is about $8,000. You obviously do not understand the budget. Really? That's funny because I didn't use the word expenditure. She's creating a straw man argument. I used the word budget. The budget is $1.054 billion. That's from their website. The number of students divided into it comes out to over $22,000. Where is she getting this $8,000 number? She's obviously trying to, you know, word it in such a way that, oh, well, I can reject your question now. No, I used the word budget. And by the way, my wallet uses the word budget. They don't set the millage rate on expenditure. They set it on budget. The budget is what they use for the number of the amount of money they need to bring in because that's the number of the money that's going to go out. And my wallet is impacted by that. It has nothing to do with expenditure. That's a made-up number. You can pick any number you want. So we do have someone on the line. Her name is Janet. And Janet, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. My question was simply, when I sat there and I heard about the $1 billion budget, my question on the index card was, do the school board members, receive a salary? If so, what? And what perks?
Okay.
Well, obviously, it was important to me. Sounds like that's important to you also.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. And Diane, do we have an answer for her?
Yeah, I believe the school board receives a salary somewhere between $36,000 and $40,000 per year.
So, yeah, it's part of the budget. It's not just an expenditure. And I believe we do have second person on a different line. And, okay, so Joe is calling in. And so, Janet, we thank you for that call. And, yeah, the answer is yes, there is a number. And, Diane, anything else you want to bring up?
I just want to concur with you on the fact that a budget is a budget, and they continually want to say, oh, no, we only count expenditures. We don't count debt service. We don't count this. We don't count that. Totally wrong.
Yeah. It impacts your wallet.
And in typical government fashion, they like to hem-haul around, redefine words, duck and dodge questions by their nuanced approach to certain things, which in fact we know it has nothing to do with nuance whatsoever. And then, as you were discussing earlier too, they want to include certain things when it makes them look good that shouldn't even be included, but then they want to exclude things
right
when it makes them look bad.
Right. So they maximize the good and minimize the bad.
And think about this, folks. If corruption is this bad in local government, now do you now understand why it's so bad at the federal level?
Yeah. It only gets worse. It gets amplified. So now I guess we have two open invitations. Rob's invitation to the Collier County Commissioners. You're welcome to call in. I will also like to put out an invitation to the Coalition for Quality Public Education and those individuals who are running for the Collier County School Board in District 1, 3, and 5. There were seven of them. And you can call us at 430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. And so, Diane, you probably think your question was pulled aside as well.
Oh, I definitely think my question was pulled aside. Yeah. They don't want to keep touting that they're number 5 in the state of Florida.
Right, and they're just cherry-picking the numbers. So I would suggest to everyone listening, reach out. Reach out to this group, the coalition. Go out on their website and see. It's kind of scary. I was doing some research, and I'm a little appalled. But make it known that you want this to be fair. You want this to be nonpartisan. You don't want questions pulled aside just because they're difficult or because they think that it's not meeting their guidelines. Publish the guidelines. I didn't even see them. And I welcome you to call in if you're from that group. So at this point, I think we can do the week in review for next week. And we do have Joe on the line. And Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon again.
Hey, Joe.
It's going to be a quiet week. As you know, Monday is Memorial Day. And to remind everybody that Naples Memorial Gardens will be holding a special event. And be there at 9:45 to get a seat. And the ceremonies begin promptly at 10 a.m., and it's, again, 111th Avenue, adjacent to St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. The other thing is that while there aren't too many meetings in the next week or so, I do encourage all of the parents in Collier County public school children to go onto the Collier County Public Schools website and go to the instructional materials and look over the science textbooks. I personally reviewed 45 of them because I was on two committees. But I ask those parents, if you have one, two, or three children, go on to the website, look at the book that's being recommended for your child for next year, look it over, and you have until Thursday, June 7th at 4 p.m. to submit your objections to any of those books. And you can also go into the MLK Administration Building and look at a hard copy of the book as well.
Awesome. All right, Joe, we appreciate that, and we'll look forward to seeing those.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
And we're back with Diane in studio. And Diane, we're looking a little bit over the coalition's public information.
Yes. And so one of their things is that they definitely are for public schools. They really point out that they would like to not have charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things they're definitely not for, diverting public funds, even though charter schools are public schools.
And they're doing very well.
Yes. Yeah. Academically, the charter schools are excelling. We actually, on Marco Island, the Marco Island Academy has done extremely well with all of their students.
Right. And I think the Mason Academy is number one in Florida here.
Mason Classical,
yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I did want to mention about that is, you know, the Collier School Board is required by Florida Constitution, state statute, to accept all comers, okay? If a student shows up, they have to provide for them. You know, if you've got a charter school with 1,000 students in it and they close during Christmas break and never reopen, well, guess what? The county has to handle 1,000 students. You know, I get that. I understand that. You have to have the infrastructure in place. You have to have the ability to move quickly to find where these students can go. You know, that's a number that we can talk about. That's a number we can debate. But in the end, why isn't that number being sectioned off in such a way that those students can be accounted for? So that so if you need infrastructure money, you know, and let's take that $22,000, because I believe that's a more accurate number. Let's say we put 10 grand of that for the number of students that are in charter, put it into infrastructure. Let's say you need another 2,000 in overhead, just because you have to have people employed before you know, they need to do their job. All right, well, what's that do with the other 10 grand? That other 10 grand is the word they use. You know, it's the cost to the expenditure per pupil. Why is that 10 grand? And whatever number it comes out to be, I'm being hypothetical. Why doesn't that number follow the student? So if they are in the charter school, that money should go to the charter. If the charter school closes, that money comes back to the county. I don't know, just putting it out there.
And another question to be asked too is, why is there such a huge difference between what is budgeted and what is actually spent, i.e. expenditure?
Right.
Where is this other money going to if only 8,000 of the 22,000 plus that's been budgeted, if only 8,000 of that is actually going to each student, then where is that other money going?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a large chunk.
Hey, I can tell you actually where it's going. I have their 2017-18 budget summary chart,
mm-hmm.
which they call it a budget.
Right.
But what they're doing is they're breaking it out as general funds. Now you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Debt service, capital projects, special revenue, nutritional services, oh, an internal service, 86 million. $87 million
yeah.
for internal service.
Yeah.
So they pull all of that out of the general fund that is what they're calling the expenditure fund.
Right.
Very interesting. It totals $1,054 million.
Right. And they're proposing a $1.1 billion for the next school year.
Correct.
So it's going to go up by an insane amount. And you know what? Inflation's not going up that high. So Diane, in just the few seconds we have remaining on the show, you know, tell us a little bit about your group or what people can do to advocate for better schooling and the costs?
Well, one of the things, so I am president of the Republican Women of Southwest Florida Federated, and we are open to having members that join us. We bring in great speakers, and we have an open mind as to what we can do. But one of the things that I personally am interested in is following the Collier County Public Schools. I don't have children in the schools, but we are paying that tax dollar, and I want the best for the Collier County students.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much for coming in. And, you know, I just met you a few days ago, and this is great. And again, you know, we have invitations out there for the county commissioners to call us, for the school board people to call, the people that are running for election, and for this coalition. So everybody, thank you very much for a great, great show. And we hope everyone has a blessed Memorial Day. Thanks, all.
Thanks for listening. The Liberty Weekly Review will be back next week, produced by the Libertarian Party of Collier County. We wish you a great weekend, paid for by the Libertarian Party of Collier.